Hi, my name is Fiona Copland and I'm the module tutor for Teaching English to Young Learners on the MSc TESOL and on the MSc in Teaching English to Young Learners. We presume that you have signed up for this module either because you teach young learners or you work with them in some other capacity, perhaps as a manager or the owner of a centre that specialises in young learner teaching, or perhaps as a materials writer or in publishing to do with young learners. Or perhaps you're thinking about getting involved in this really growing area of education. We hope that this module offers something for everyone and that you will develop your knowledge and understanding in a number of areas regarding working with young children. I'm just going to talk a little bit about what this short lecture will cover. First of all, I want to provide an overview of the units in the module and just say one or two words about each of these units. And then, just to make it a little bit meatier, we're going to discuss one or two issues that appear in module one of the course. So the first one is to look at the contexts where young learners can be found, and to look a little bit at this idea of younger is better when it comes to learning English. And then at the end of the talk, I just want to start you thinking a little bit about your assignment, and particularly about what constitutes research in young learner teaching. So let's look at, first of all, at the module units. Well, as I intimated, the first one looks particularly at contexts and issues in teaching young learners so that you feel that you have an up-to-date view of these issues around teaching young learners at this point in time. Of course, issues to do with young learner teaching today will be very different to what they were 10, 20, 30 years ago. The second module looks at children in particular as language learners. How do they differ from adults and how do they differ from each other depending on the age that they are? Obviously those things will have great impact on what teachers decide to do with young learners in different learning contexts. The third module looks particularly at classroom learning of a second language, obviously English in this case. And the fourth module looks at particularly at very young learners, what is appropriate to teach, is teaching indeed appropriate, should it be play in the very young learner classroom. Many people, when they think about young learners, think about the resources and activities that they need to bring into the classroom, knowing that children, for example, have short attention spans, they've got to be kept busy, these kinds of things. So this is quite a practical unit, which gives ideas for activities to take into the young learner classroom and critiques various activities that you might use. Now, the next unit takes a slightly broader view and thinks about literacy in a broader way, not just about reading and writing, which are common functions of literacy, but also what it is to be literate, and you know what happens if children aren't literate in their first language, how this might affect their second language learning. Then we look at language in the young learner classroom. What kind of language should we use? Should we be speaking in English all the time, or what role is there for the student's first language in the young learner classroom? Interaction is a big issue in all language teaching, as you know. And what kind of interactions can you expect to have with young learners in the language classroom? how can we encourage them to take longer turns, use English to interact. Unit 9 here looks at course and syllabus design, and of course there will be overlaps here if you do the course materials design module that we offer as well. But this just takes a particularly young learner approach to this area. And finally, we will look at the idea of assessing and evaluating. You know, how do we go about assessing young children? What is appropriate? What isn't so appropriate? What kind of results can we get? So it's quite, we cover a lot, we think, in this module. We start off with a very macro view, and then we look in more, you know, from a more micro perspective at things such as, you know, the reading of young children, speaking with young children, designing courses for young children, so that we take a micro perspective of various things that are a part of this macro perspective. Okay, so that's what you can expect to cover. Obviously, within each of these units, there is a good deal to do. You will be pointed to readings that we would expect you to read as you go through the module, and to tasks, again, that we would expect you to carry out as you work through the different units. As you will know from FND, you know, all our tasks we feel are vital, and we don't really encourage people to skip over them. We think that this kind of engagement with the tasks leads to a deeper learning experience and helps people to become more involved with the module that they're doing. So if you don't do the tasks, you're missing out on something that will actually help you, we think, in both your learning and in your understanding of the issues involved. So, as you go through the units, do the readings, do the tasks. Each unit will have a little reading list to go, well, quite a long reading list to go with it. We obviously don't expect you to plough necessarily through all of those, but if you end up looking at that particular area, then obviously you will need to do quite a lot of reading, and those references will guide you in particular ways and support you with your learning. Okay, so let's move on now and look at just one or two of the issues that crop up in the first module, context and issues in teaching young learners. First of all, then, what is a young learner? Well, traditionally the term has been used to describe children between 7 and 12, 14 years old, when children would start to learn English or another foreign language in their primary schools. However, over recent years, the definition has expanded to include children of all ages. So, for example, the IATEFL SIG, which is the International Association of Teachers of English as a Foreign Language Special Interest Group, now call the Special Interest Group Young Learners and Teenagers. And, of course, we know that the age for learning at the other end is getting younger and younger. So, as we will see in a moment, there's even nurseries, for example, for very young children where everybody speaks in English. But for the purposes of this module, we kind of go, I suppose, from the age 4 to the age 12 bracket, although, you know, some of the principles and ideas can be expanded either way. Just because somebody is 13, for example, doesn't mean to say that a 13-year-old in France won't be the same as a 13-year-old in Japan. So obviously your knowledge of your local context will help you to decide what's appropriate where you work. Now, there are various contexts in which people will teach young learners. If you've completed any other modules on the MSc TESOL, you'll know that the notion of context is central to most of our concerns, and we believe that all pedagogy should be context-sensitive and that each context is unique. Nevertheless, there are some common young learner contexts, and we're just going to look at those briefly now. So, first of all, a common context for young learners of English is the state classroom in a country where English is the official dominant language. For example, Australia or the US or Britain. And in these contexts, English is being taught to often newly arrived immigrant children in primary schools or in secondary schools. In these situations, children newly arrived in the country are often taught alongside children who are already fluent in English. Children in these contexts are expected to learn their curriculum subjects from day one through English. It's common practice for these children to have a support worker, perhaps an English as an additional language teacher. But this provision can be patchy, and it might not be afforded to children who have been in the country for some time or who's use English as a second language because they have a different home language, for example. Now, the good news about this is that there's a very strong literature around by what we call bilingualism or multilingual contexts. So if you're in this kind of context, you'll find lots and lots of good research that will support you as you research your own context and write your own assignments. Another context which many of our course participants find themselves in is in teaching young learners in private language schools in different countries around the world, where the dominant language of that country isn't English. So, for example, in Greece or Spain or Japan, the first language of these students is very much Spanish or Greek or Japanese, but English is highly valued in the curriculum, both by parents and by society. And children have to pass examinations in English if they are to be successful academically. And in order for this to happen, many people set up private language schools where they teach children who then go after school to these private language schools to learn English. So a very common context. We find a lot of our course participants are in these schools. But again, they will differ from place to place. So for a private language school in Spain, will be very different from one in Greece, for example. Often these contexts are called TEFL contexts, teaching as a foreign language context, because the students are learning English not to survive, but to have an advantage, if you like, in the workplace and the school place. Context where you'll find English being taught is in where the school curriculum is taught through English. And this happens in a number of countries where English is an official language or English is used as a lingua franca. So, for example, in Nigeria, where I used to teach, English is the lingua franca. Lots of the children around the country are taught in English. English is the business of English is the language of business, is the language of commerce, is the language of the administration, because of the many different languages that the peoples of Nigeria speak. So speaking English is the one language that they nearly all speak. And certainly, again, it's a great advantage in these countries if you can speak English. So other countries like these are, for example, Hong Kong, Singapore, South Africa, for example. Many children are taught their curriculum subjects through English. Increasingly, too, parents choose this kind of education for their children, even when English is not used in that country as a lingua franca. So, for example, Hong Kong, I mentioned before that English used to be the language of schools. Nowadays, that's not necessarily the case, but many parents still choose for their children to be educated through English. Turkey, for example, has a number of private schools where the curriculum is delivered for the most part in English, so that the children, although Turkish is obviously the language of the country, the children are schooled through English. Another example of a context is slightly different, and it's not country or place specific, but it's rather the context of teaching very young children English. So governments, parents perceive that younger is better, and so they introduce English to children at a very young age. For example, in Japan and Korea, South Korea, for example, children could be sent to English language nursery schools. In Italy, children are being taught in the state system English from the age of six. So this is these contexts bring their own issues, their own challenges, and we'll go on to talk a little bit now about whether we think it is a good idea for these very young children to be learning English. What we'd just like to finish off by saying about contexts, however, is while you might recognise one of the contexts that I've just spoken about as being your context, that's a very broad brushed description of different contexts, and you must situate your own work within the broader context, but then describe it much more specifically. And of course, there are social and political issues surrounding learning English in all these contexts and in all these ages. Okay, so let's go on now and look at the other thing we said we'd have a little look at, which is this idea of is younger better? Here we have a very young lad, maybe learning English at the age of four or five. Is this the best time for him to be learning? Many of you will have heard of the critical period hypothesis, or CPH. It's a hypothesis which suggests that at puberty there's a dramatic decline in the brain lateralization process, which means that language learning becomes more difficult. And this has been particularly linked to children's ability to produce sounds in the target language. So the argument goes that after the age of, 13, 14, when the elasticity has gone in the brain, children's ability to produce sounds in a similar way to how they would be produced by a native speaker becomes a great deal more difficult. Now, this may be true, nobody really knows, but there seems to have been a movement or a belief that critical age hypothesis or critical period hypothesis is cuts across all aspects of learning a language, where in fact it's very much tied to this idea of sound production. So, what about grammar, vocabulary, discourse, sociolinguistic competence? These are all key aspects of a language, but don't seem to be related to the critical period hypothesis. So while there might be merits in this hypothesis, you can't just relate it to other aspects of language learning. There's no evidence that sociolinguistic competence, for example, is easier for a younger child to learn than an older child. We have to be very careful when we start to think about what age it is that children should learn, and not automatically think that younger is better. I think this is even more so when we think about what factors actually influence learning a language. For example, age is one factor, perhaps, but other very important aspects of learning a language will include, for example, how many hours or how much input does a child have, or an adult, and how much of this is helpful input. And I always think about when I lived in Japan for 5 years, and my Japanese is absolutely terrible, actually. I'm ashamed of it. But I used to sit in front of TV quite a lot, actually. I used to find it quite fascinating. But I didn't really learn any Japanese from watching the television, because for the most part, it wasn't comprehensible to me. I didn't really understand what the sounds meant in relation to what I was viewing. And so although I had hours and hours of input, it wasn't very helpful or targeted input for me, or maybe I'm just really stupid, and I didn't learn much Japanese from the television. However, when I went to some lessons, I learned something, and I also used to learn in school, when I taught in schools, because, of course, the same things would happen every day at a certain time, like lunch, and so I would learn the kind of language around lunch, the language around shoes, the language around the beginning and the end of the day. So it's not just about how much input, but also about whether the input is targeted. Another important aspect of language learning, in particular with children, is this idea of cognitive development, and we deal with this extensively in the module. Children at an earlier age don't have the same cognitive capacities as older children, and so they're not able to reason so well about language and what they're learning and make more meta connections. And so this means that it's very difficult to sit a five-year-old child down, for example, and talk about grammar, whereas you can maybe talk about grammar in a more intellectual way with a 12-year-old or a 13-year-old. And maybe the older child can make quicker connections between different aspects of language because they're able to see things from a more meta perspective. So cognitive development is also important in terms of how people learn languages. Another important, and these are just a few features we're throwing out here, the educational environment. How are children learning languages? Are they learning in a school environment? Why are they learning English in that environment? Is it in order to pass an exam, or is it to have a chat to a friendly foreigner who turns up on the doorstep? So, how is English viewed in that educational environment? And even more so, what is the status of English socially? How is the status of English viewed? Another little story. I worked in Hong Kong for 2 years before, while Britain was still while Hong Kong was still a British colony, and English was taught in all the schools, and in most schools, all the classes were taught through English. And yet, many Chinese people in Hong Kong struggled with English, didn't want to speak English. It was kind of half valued and half resisted. And, that has to be tied up with the fact that that Hong Kong was part of Britain and not an independent state. So how English is viewed is also another factor in terms of the extent and how English is learnt. So the variety of contexts and variables make it hard to claim that age is one of the independent variables, says Nikolov. We can't take age out of the equation, but it is not the only thing that we need to look at when we look at successful and efficient language learning for children. And one of the books that we encourage you to read is Lightbaum and Spader, who say that language develops as the result of a complex interplay between the uniquely human characteristics of the child and the environment in which the child develops. And although they're talking about first language, a similar thing I think can be said about second language. It's not only age, it's why the child is learning, how the child is learning, if the child wants to learn, what the child likes doing. All these things will come together to make language learning more or less successful. Okay, so I'm just going to move on towards the end of my short talk now to talk about your assignment. Now, as you know, on these modules, you will be asked to come up with your own assignment title And that should be focusing on the context in which you are working with young learners. And at this point, I'd like to make a bit of a plea, because when we were rewriting the module, we found that, in fact, although there's a lot written about young learners, most of it is about, how to do teach a song, how to use pictures, you know, telling stories, all these kinds of things that we would associate with teaching young learners. But from quite a didactic point of view, you know, this is the way to do it. In terms of research, you know, empirical research on young learners, there is a great deal less. And we would like to make a plea to you. We think that, you know, we need more research. We need more more of our course participants to be presenting at conferences, publishing in journals, and, you know, informing the world about teaching young learners in particular contexts. In fact, you know, it's incredible when you think there isn't even a journal dedicated to this area, and yet so many people around the world are involved in teaching young learners. So, here are the main books that we would recommend that you get hold of. The Moon and Nikoloff book is actually available by contacting Nikoloff. The information is given in the module. Unfortunately, the Rickson book seems to be out of print, although we would still recommend it as one of the few books that actually look at research perspectives on young learners. So see if you can beg, steal or borrow that one. But please, you know, the temptation, I think, with this module is to talk about the thing, when people write their assignments, is to talk about the things that they've done with young learners. We would like to see a much more empirical approach to the assignment, so that you research something in particular, possibly from an action research perspective, but not necessarily. But maybe be thinking from the start, when you start going through the module, about what kind of areas you're interested in and how these might be linked to teaching young learners and to the assignment, the broad picture of teaching young learners. Okay, it's a very brief run through what the module's about, and one of the two of the issues you'll find in the first module, the first unit, sorry. We hope you enjoy it. Please keep in contact with me in particular if you have any problems or issues. I'd be very happy to talk those over with you. And don't forget, please don't forget to send in your proposal when you are ready to start talking about your assignment. And one last word is on ethics. Obviously, with children, there is a particular ethical dimension, and you must be very careful so that you are seen to operate in an ethical way. So, at any point, if you want to talk about ethics, please get in touch with me, and I'll guide you as to what is appropriate with particular regard to young learners. Okay, thank you very much.